atmosphere changer. Do you know that? Yeah. Hallelujah. When we are speaking praise, we can't be speaking anything else. Amen. When we're speaking positive, you can't be speaking negative. Amen. You can't speak positive and negative at the same time. Hallelujah. And so as we begin to speak praise, what happens is we lift our attitude, we lift our emotions, our thoughts to another place. Amen. Another level. Something higher than I. Aren't you glad there's something bigger than you and I? There's something higher than I, a higher power, the Spirit, the presence of an almighty God. Hallelujah. That if we can lift our eyes and lift our hands and lift our voices to a higher place. How many know it takes us away from this realm? And causes us to focus on something bigger, something greater than I. Hallelujah. So your praise will ever be on my lips. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, no, you can be praising him wherever you are. Amen. Doesn't have to be in just in church. Lord, I hope you don't just wait till you get to church to praise him. I hope you find a place to praise him everywhere you are. All along the way. Every step of our life, there are things to be thankful for. There are things to be grateful for. Hallelujah. And to give him praise for. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Genesis 8 and 22, I think, to start this morning, Carlin, and I'm going on to John 12. So I'll go ahead and bring those up. But I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about baptism. Because next Sunday, we are getting ready to do a baptismal service. A church picnic at the Kirkapin State Park. Everybody's invited to come. Everybody's invited to bring a friend, bring a covered dish, bring your lawn chair, bring your sports clothes so you can play games, bring your swimming trunks so you can swim. Y'all sound real excited out there this morning. Woo! All the excited people must have went to Sunday school. They're all 18 and under, right? Okay, how about this? There are benches, tables, fried chicken. Does that sound better? Apple pie, something, potato salad. There's, you know, there's going to be something there for everybody. Hallelujah. Now I'm speaking your language, aren't I? Hallelujah. Good preaching right there. Hallelujah. But it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a lot of fun. So come out and be a part of it. Bring somebody. Everybody's welcome to come and join us. Bring a covered dish. Prepare in case a friend comes. And we're going to provide chicken and rolls. And we're going to get some drinks. And we've got, like I say, we've got fun things to do there. And then we're going to do a baptismal, which is one of my favorite things to do. And then we're going to have free swimming after that. So even if you don't want to swim, stick around. Go back over. Eat more chicken. Whatever, eat more pie. It'll be back over there when you get done. And so it'll be a great day. Hallelujah. And so we have just a couple people so far I know of that wants to be baptized. If you want to be baptized, please let me know and we would be glad to do that for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, people, if you have any questions, please come and see me. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have about that. We're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. People say, can you be baptized more than once? Yes, you can. And I believe it took the first time you did it. Okay? But what baptism is really is an outward sign of an inward work. It's the work, it's an open manifestation, it's an open testimony of your identification with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And what happens sometimes is maybe you had it done at a different stage in your life and God has opened your eyes in some other ways, or maybe you felt like it happened in a season that's been long gone and you want to renew just that feeling or that experience. You're welcome to do it over again if you'd like to. Sometimes people have it done when they're little, and when they get older, they just want to identify with that again. Maybe you're just at a stage in your life and say, Lord, I want to step into a greater commitment. There's some things I want to bury. There's one of some things I want to identify as being done and buried and gone. And how many know baptism is just a symbol of our death, our burial, and our resurrection? And identifying with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Hallelujah. How many of Jesus was baptized? Yes. Hallelujah. How many know that's what he came to earth to do? Yes. Was to die, yes. To be buried, and to be resurrected, yes. And to give us eternal life. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. And so what happens, we see John and we see Jesus on the shore of the Jordan River. And Jesus steps up and he wants to be baptized. And John says to him, well, goodness, I have need to be baptized of you, but you come to me. And Jesus says to John, let it be so, John, hallelujah, that we could fulfill all righteousness, that the works of God might be made manifest. And how many know an old covenant prophet named John the Baptist grabs a hold of the hand of a new covenant minister and a new covenant priesthood named Jesus, and they both walk into the Jordan River together. Hallelujah. And you know, in the Old Testament, I mean, Jesus is a type of our heavenly Joshua. Amen. He's a type of our heavenly Joshua. When Joshua stepped into the Jordan River in the Old Testament, when they were about ready to cross over, he said, I want you to step into the Jordan. And when you step into the Jordan, I want you to step into it with the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant. And when you do, the waters are going to roll back and the people are going to walk across on dry ground. And when you go across on dry ground, he said, go ahead and pick up a rock. Go ahead and get yourself a rock out of the river and take it over. And when you get to the other side, go ahead and pile it up. And they said, Lord, what are we going to do that for? He said, because the generations yet to come are going to look at those markers and those memorials and say, that was the moment when God was victorious in our life. That was the moment when we crossed over the Jordan. That was the moment when we changed leadership. We went from the Mosaic leadership to a Joshua generation, and we passed over on dry ground. How many know when he stepped in there with that mercy seat, the waters rolled back, and they walked across on dry ground. Our heavenly Joshua comes onto the shore with John the Baptist, and they join hands, and he steps into the waters of the Jordan. Guess what? The scripture says he is our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. He is our Ark of the Covenant. When he steps in the person of Jesus Christ steps into the Jordan River that day with John, guess what? The waters don't roll back, but the heavens do. He said, and the sound came from the heavens, and it descended upon him in the form of a dove and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him, in whom I am well pleased. How many know now he's saying what used to be an old order, an old covenant, an old ark, and an old mercy seat is now being replaced by Jesus himself, the new heavenly Joshua, our heavenly mercy seat, our heavenly Ark of the Covenant has now stepped into the Jordan, and guess what? We now have access to an open heaven. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Hallelujah. So our baptism allows us to identify with the death, the burial, and a resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a sign, it's an outward sign of an inward work. It's an open testimony that says to our friends, our families, that's my old nature. I'm not the same old person that I used to be. I'm a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Hallelujah. I love immersion because immersion, you fully go under, you fully come up. Amen. You're fully buried. Hallelujah. Didn't just throw dirt in your face. We fully buried, fully resurrected. Amen. Now, it is a sign and a symbol. How many know it's not the water of the park that's going to wash your sins away? Amen? Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ washes your sins away, makes you a new creation, makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's an outward sign that says, I identify with his life in me. I lay my life down. Hallelujah. And I take up his life. Hallelujah. I want to talk to it a little bit to you a little bit this morning. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Go on over to John chapter 12. We're going to talk a little bit about a seed this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody have garden? Anybody have a garden out? A few people. Hallelujah. Thank God for the rain. We haven't had much rain. How many know that you got to have the heavens and earth have to agree for seed time to come together? Yes, right. Amen? Not just what you do in the earthly, it's what comes from the heavens also that waters the plant, that brings life, that causes things to grow, causes things to produce. Hallelujah. How many know I believe in the principle of sowing and reaping? Yes, yes. Amen? The scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you soweth, that shall you also reap. Aren't you glad you didn't reap everything you ever sowed? Aren't you glad that you're reaping on what he sowed? Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And a lot of times when we talk about sowing seed and things like that, we talk about finances and, you know, we automatically, our mind goes to maybe tithing or giving or offerings. How many know that's not the only seed that we sow? That's good seed. And I believe in sowing seed. Amen. I believe in planting seed. I believe in dropping seeds of goodness everywhere I go. I believe in sowing for a harvest yet to come, and not just for a harvest to reap for myself, but for those who will follow me, that there'll be always be a place where they can come and hear of the goodness of God. Amen? So I want to sow into something. I want to invest. It's the greatest investment system you'll ever do, is to invest in the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So I believe in that. But how many know there are more ways of just sowing seed than just in finances? Jesus begins to speak to them in John 12 and verse 20. Says, there were certain Greeks among that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Now the Greeks, not the Jews, but the Greeks have come that they might inquire, and said, we would see Jesus. We desire to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think there is a major cry in this day and in this season for people to say, we want to see Jesus. Yes. And I'm not talking about seeing church. I'm not talking about seeing religion. I'm not talking about seeing formalities. People are saying, I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to see the manifestation of Jesus. I want to see the manifestation of Jesus in his people, in the earth, in this time and in this season. Hallelujah. We would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will I, my Father, honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus and answered said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Hallelujah. He said, I have already glorified you, and yet I will glorify you again. The scripture says that the Gentiles came and said, we would see Jesus. We desire to see Jesus. How many have a desire to see the manifestation of Jesus? Hallelujah. To see a manifestation of his glory, to see a manifestation of his miracles, his presence. Hallelujah. I appreciate Beth being obedient this morning and stepping out and saying, look, it's here. Step into. The waters are stirred. If you have a desire, if you have a need, step into what God wants to do in the midst of that. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we hold back and we wait, and yet the waters are stirred. The presence of the Lord is here. And sometimes it's just a step of faith to step up and say, okay, God, I'm stepping into this place of faith. I'm stepping out into something that you desire of me. The scripture she was talking about said there was a man who laid by the pool of Bethesda, and he had laid there a very long time. And Jesus came along and said to him, wilt thou be made whole? And the man does not answer yes or no. He said, well, let me just tell you my story. And you know what happens sometimes is we present the case of why we can't be healed, why God can't meet our need, why we can have what the scripture says we have, more than we present the need of what the word says I can have. If it says I can have it, I want it. Hallelujah. I never forget Brother Handrop used to say about the beans, if I can have them, I want them. Hallelujah. How many know if there's things that are right to me as an heir according to the promise of Jesus, I want what it says I can have. I want to be what it says I can be. Hallelujah. And so he doesn't say yes or no. He just says, well, when the water gets stirred, somebody always steps in ahead of me and gets the healing that I wanted, that I should have had, but I didn't get there. Somebody got there ahead of me. Hallelujah. And so what I don't understand sometimes is that same perpetual cycle that keeps saying, well, it never happens for me. I never get what I need, or somebody goes down ahead of me. Well, here's the deal. And you've heard me say this before. If somebody is getting in the water before me and I've laid there 30 plus years waiting on a healing, I'm going to change my program. I'm going to change the way I do things. So here's the deal. Whoever carried me there yesterday, we need to talk. Because if they're getting there ahead of me, today I want you to put me right on the edge. Because when the water gets ready to stir today, put me on the edge, because I'm going to roll myself in. I'm going to pull myself over. I'm going to kick myself down until I get where I need to be, till I see something happen. Hallelujah. We wait sometimes. And sometimes I think God's waiting on us as much as we're waiting on God to say, just go ahead and step in faith of what I've already provided for you. It's already stirred. It's already provided. It's already there. Go ahead. Roll yourself in if you got to. Hallelujah. Do the belly crawl. Do whatever you got to do to get there, but get there. Come on, somebody. Get there. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you got to get up and change the channel. Amen? Anybody remember getting up and changing the channel on the TV? Okay, I thought I was at the right crowd. Hallelujah. Because, see, we become so used to pushing a button, hitting a microwave, speaking in the phone. Now you just talk into your phone. Tell it what you need it to do. Okay, Google. What do we need to know? It's there. Everything is right at our fingertips. How many know our Christian walk still takes some effort on your part? Now, I get it. We're at rest. I get it that the work is finished. Hallelujah. But, you know, to me, it's kind of like Dan is building a house for Beth right now, and they'll be moving in here hopefully in some months to come. But it's going to take some effort on her part, because she's going to have to move into the house that's been built for her. Amen? So it can sit there forever, but if you don't put any effort into stepping into what's been given to you, what's been provided for you, you're not ever going to live in the place that you were destined to live, because you're still waiting on something to happen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to get up, put your boots on, put one foot in front of the other, and step out into something. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody ever had to push yourself? Ever had to get out of the bed this morning and sit and have to talk to yourself? Hallelujah. Sometimes it gets more frequent, doesn't it? Hallelujah. But how many know sometimes you got to step out into something? Hallelujah. But the scripture says we would see Jesus. Hallelujah. You are the expression of the Father in the earth. You are the greatest demonstration of the face of Jesus right now in the earth. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, I asked, how many of you in here had a garden this year? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for gardens. There are cukes and zooks. Back there in the foyer, Patsy brought cucumbers and zucchini. So if you want some, get some on the way out, because she planted a garden. Amen. Now, I told you the other Sunday, I went out into the yard the other day to pick some corn to bring it in for supper, and then I realized I didn't plant any corn, so I couldn't bring it in for supper, right? Hallelujah. How many know I cannot reap from something that I did not sow? Now, on occasion, somebody brings in a basket full and we can glean, but how many know I can't reap from something I didn't sow? We planted some tomatoes. I got some tomatoes planted at my house this year in pots. And we planted them, mostly they're cherry tomatoes. We planted them because the kids get the biggest kick out of when they come over, they want to pick the cherry tomatoes off the plants. So we get a kick out of watching them pick the tomatoes. But that's about the biggest harvest I got right now is a few cherry tomatoes. Amen. I don't have good soil. I don't have good ground. Wish I did, but we don't. I mean, you can't harvest out of where you didn't plant. Hallelujah. Thankful for the blessings of God that even sometimes when we don't plant, he still comes along and ministers to us in our time of need. Amen. But Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, what? It bringeth forth much fruit. How many know an ear of corn has way more seed on it than one kernel? The whole point is that things will multiply and replenish the earth, right? Hallelujah. Well, as you know, the Sanhedrin court, the high officials, those who arrested Jesus, those who accused him of crime, those who crucified him, their point was to extinguish him and to silence him because he was causing too much of a ruckus. Amen? But how many know the worst thing you can do with the seed if you want to get rid of it is bury it? Brother Danny shared that out in Oklahoma, and I thought that was pretty powerful. How many know the worst thing you can do with a seed if you want to get rid of it is bury it in the earth? Because if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Hallelujah. How many know that's how we got here? We are the seed of God. We are the seed of Abraham, not through one naturally, but one spiritually. Hallelujah. That we are heirs of a kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are fruit of that seed that was planted in the earth. How many know baptism is kind of like being a seed that's planted into the earth? It multiplies and it brings forth much fruit. So I want you to think about it in the thought that it's not just about being buried with him and just being resurrected with him, but also it's a symbolic or a picture of us being planted in the earth and then springing forth into new life and bearing fruit, and that your fruit might remain. How many believe that you are a kind of seed? Yes. Hallelujah. That you are a seed planted in the earth, just as he is a seed. Hallelujah. How many know we had to be planted with him in baptism? We had to die out to ourselves. Yep. Or bury with him in baptism. And then we had to sprout and spring forth as a new blade, a new seedling. Hallelujah, as a seed, as a first fruits unto God, and we produce fruit in our life. Amen? How many believe we are called to produce fruit? Yes. Hallelujah, I've met a whole lot of fruit trees. Uh-huh.
You have to sow on good ground.
Yes, you do.
And if you don't die out, you don't bring forth fruit.
Amen. Hallelujah. Baptism is a sign of a life change. Amen. It's a sign of our conversion. We've been talking about conversion a lot. Converting from one way of life to another way of life. It's a metamorphosis. It's a stage of our growth. It's a continuing of a work that's been started in us and that's being completed. Pastor Shirley said it's like the parable of the sower. Let's go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. Before she preaches my sermon, before I get to it. Hallelujah. That's all right. That's all right. Don't matter who says it, right? Long as it gets so said. So let's go to Luke 8, 5 through 15. Parable of the sower. I mean, Jesus gave many parables to help us to understand the simplicity of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We talked last weekend about one of the perils. We talked about the dragnet and how it went to the bottom of the sea, not just the top, and the pearl of great price that was found. But the scripture says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples ask him, saying, "What might this parable be? Explain this to us." And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and but they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." How many know we are given the mandate to bring forth fruit? Amen? Hallelujah. And so we have the parable of the sower, and the sower goes out to sow seed, and the seed falls in many different places. Amen? And it tells us that the seed in this parable is what? The word of God. And it falls on all kinds of hearts: stony, thorny, the path most traveled, or good ground. Amen? And so it tells us how it produces in that. But back some years ago, we went to a camp, and they were talking about the parable of the sower. And Morgan was in this group, and they said to her, "What kind of seed, who do you think you are in this parable? Are you the sower? Are you the good ground? Are you the thorny ground? Are you the, you know, where do you fall in this parable?" And Morgan said, "Well, I think I'm the seed." And they kind of just looked at her for a minute, and I never had thought about it like that before, but she said, "I think I'm seed." Hallelujah. How many know the scripture says that the seed is the word of God, but how many know it also says that we are living epistles known and read of all men? Hallelujah. That we are the word of God in life form. Amen. So we are seed. And wherever we go, we are planted in many different areas. Now, I could go around the room this morning and find out where you are planted or where you spend the most of your time, and that is your level or your sphere of influence right now. Amen? Do you believe or do you know that God has you planted where you are that you might bring forth fruit in that environment? I believe that we are strategically placed, that God puts us with people, puts us in opportunities, places us in places that we can be seed and life and bring forth fruit in somebody's life that they might receive from us the goodness of God, but also that I might receive from them the goodness of God. Hallelujah. How many know we are a type of seed planted in the earth? And what I believe happens also when we're in baptism, we are a seed being buried in the earth. And the worst thing you want to do to a seed, if you want to extinguish it, is bury it. But if you bury it, get ready for some growth. Get ready for some harvest. Get ready for God to bring you forth and begin to produce fruit out of your life and begin to bring the goodness of God out of your life and begin to see things happen. How many can say I've seen the goodness of God in my life in this year? How many know there's been some families that's been through some tough times, been in some hard places, except that we be rooted and grounded and know that our source comes not from my own strength or my own ability, but my source and my strength comes from Him who is the Heavenly Father. How many, I told you that the earth and the heavens must agree if we're going to bring forth a bounty and bring forth a harvest. See, I can plant all the seed I want, but if the heavens don't open up and rain upon that seed, hallelujah, then my works of planting the seed are not going to do what they need to unless the Spirit of God rains upon that in our life. Amen? How many know His Spirit is like water poured forth in our life, and it causes new growth, and it causes new seasons? How many ever had to walk through a season in your life? Sometimes we don't like to hear about that there are seasons sometimes in our life. But how many know even in the winter seasons, when it looks like everything's dormant, when it looks like the trees aren't doing nothing, there's so much going on underneath the earth that you don't know that life is still happening, even if you don't see it evident? I told you in the last big snowstorm that we had, I'm just shoveling snow right along, and I'm shoveling out through there, and we're trying to clear the thing, and I look up, and lo and behold, this tree in the middle of my yard's got buds on it. There's buds on my oak tree. And I looked at that oak tree, and I said, don't you know it's winter time? We're shoveling snow here, and you got buds on. How many know that tree was not affected a bit by the snowstorm? It doesn't take its command from that storm. It takes its command from its creator. How many know that's a revelation? We got to quit taking our commands from the storm and start taking our commands from him who is our creator and be what he's created me to be, because I am a mighty oak, Sister Jenny. It doesn't matter what my situation looks like around me. It doesn't matter if my leaf looks like it's bare. It doesn't look like my tree looks like it's not producing something, but in my season and the sanction of my creator, I will be all that he has called me and created me to be. Because my life does not take its command from storms. Doesn't take its command from the snow. One of my favorite flowers is probably the crocus and the daffodils, because they will come up in a snowstorm because they don't know it's not their time to bloom. They don't know it's not their time to bloom. One of my favorite things to see is when the crocuses go ahead and come up and the snow's not quite finished yet, because it's my season. I was born for this day. It's my time to shine. It's my season. And I'm going to take my command from my creator. I'm not going to take my command from external circumstances that would seem contrary to me being a crocus or a daffodil. Hallelujah. The seed of God in our life is powerful. And so she said, I think I'm seed. And that has always resonated with me. And I said, you know what, baby, I think you are seed also. Hallelujah. How many know God has planted her where she is right now? I have no doubt about that. I know where that she needs to be where she's at for a time and for a season. I say, Lord, I'll take that harvest back anytime. Bring that right back to Berkeley Springs. But I have to trust her creator, who purposed her to be what he called her to be. Hallelujah. And how many know if we're going to look at our lives and ourself as seed, amen, that's being planted in a field, which is the world, hallelujah, sometimes we're going to come across those that are stony ground. There's a lot of different ways you can look at that. Sometimes stony ground could just be hard-hearted. Maybe their heart is hardened by circumstances, situations, things that have happened in their life. Maybe it is a law-based mindset that no matter how much you try to plant seed there, they are so law-based and under old covenant mindsets that the seed cannot take root because it cannot get through the stone of the law. Amen. Sometimes it might be thorny ground. The briars, the thistles. How many know when the very first introduction we have of thorns and thistles and briars is when God says to Adam, you're going to bring forth, you're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your face, but the ground is going to bring forth thorns and thistles. How many know that was under the curse? How many know Jesus went to the cross to be a curse for you? Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of people accepting things that are under the curse that don't belong to you. Hallelujah, because when Jesus went to the cross, when he went to the cross of Calvary, the scripture says he took those thorns and those thistles and they platted it and made it a crown, a diadem about his head, that when he hung his head, those thorns and thistles and that curse had to be saturated in his blood. And how many know we are released from that curse? We are released from the shame. We are released from that condemnation and do not any longer have to live under a curse of sin, sickness, death, poverty, and condemnation or shame. Hallelujah. How many know some people, if you're not careful, you live in a mindset that says, well, it's the hand that's been given me. Ever said it? Well, don't say it anymore. How many know we don't have to live with the hand that's been dealt to us? How many know there are things that happen sometimes that just shouldn't happen? Hallelujah. But how many know even out of bad situations, stumps time, we can still rise up and say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. Sometimes that seed can be traveled, It said it was in the footpath or the path that was trodden down. Sometimes it's just the most popular way. Amen? The path of least resistance. The path that requires nothing of me. It's where everybody's going, what everybody's doing. I mean, sometimes God will challenge you to come up to another place or to another area, and it may not look like what everybody else is doing. You don't have to mimic what everybody else is doing. You don't have to be what everybody else is. You be who God's called you to be and what God has placed in you. If you let that seed of God grow, He'll take you to places that you could never imagine because it's a God thing and not what you're trying to do out of your own strength or out of your own being. Hallelujah. And then that good ground is simply ground that just says, here I am, Lord. Let your word take root in my heart. Hallelujah. Let your goodness, let your life, your peace shine out of me. Hallelujah. Let me be fruit in a famine. Let me be seed in the time of famine. How many know God planted Joseph in Egypt before a famine ever came? Hallelujah. How many know He planted him in the earth, planted him in Egypt, and it seemed contrary to the dream of Joseph's dream. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he dreamed this great splendor of those who would bow down to him, and how honorable and how great, and he wore the cloak and the coat of his father, and he thought that great things were ahead of him. The problem with Joseph is he shared his dreams with the wrong people. Amen. How many know you sometimes can share your dreams with the wrong people and they're dream crushers? And they want to silence the dream and tell you all the reasons why those dreams can't happen and why they can't come to pass. Hallelujah. And because of his dreams, he ended up in a place that looked like it was contrary of anything that God had ever promised him. But in the prison house, he was seed. And he began to sow seed of his wisdom, and he began to interpret the dreams. And finally, he said, when you get before the king, the Pharaoh, tell him about me. Hallelujah. How many know the person that may be your avenue to the Pharaoh may not be the person you think it is? It may be the person who's sitting beside you in the same circumstance you're in. Hallelujah. And so Joseph gets, you know the story, Joseph gets elevated to a place. And he begins to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, and he said there's going to be a famine come in the land. But if you make preparation, if you do as I tell you, and you put up the corn and you make the provision, God will sustain this land even in the midst of famine. Hallelujah. See, we get all shook up sometimes, even of what's happening in our economy and our world and all those kind of things. And we need to have concerns. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our country. But my confidence is not in the Pharaoh. My confidence is not in the president. It's not in the White House. My confidence is in God. Because I believe if God speaks and if you'll respond when God speaks, there'll be provision in the house, even in the time of famine, that there can be provision in the house so that when the brethren came back and said, we need corn from you. Hallelujah. We need provision from you. How many know Joseph had already been planted and there was already a harvest available? Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we just need to yield to the planning of God and say, God, you place me where you want me. Hallelujah. Where I can bring forth fruit, where I can be a provider, a provision, not just of natural resources, but how many know we can be a resource, an oasis in the desert? Amen. Hallelujah. As life springs forth out of us. And when the brethren came to him and they bowed down, Joseph, the scripture says, he turned around and he wept. Joseph turned and wept when his father came, his brother came, and those who had sold him out came back and saw him there. Hallelujah. He said, and he turned aside and wept. I don't think he was still angry at the brethren. I don't think he was weeping because he was trying to decide whether he should let them starve or not. He turned aside and wept, and he said, that is the dream that I dreamed. And that today, ladies and gentlemen, is the fulfillment of my dream. God brought to pass the seed he planted in my heart many, many days ago, and today Joseph saw the fulfillment of that dream. Hallelujah. It may seem like the seed tarries. It may seem like things are tarrying or not producing like they need to. Hallelujah. But hold on to what God promised you. Hold on to your dreams. Hold on to your vision. And be confident that what has been planted in the earth, when the heavens pour forth rain upon it, God causes an increase and causes that seed to grow. Hallelujah. So therefore, when we are buried with him in baptism, I believe it's like a seed being planted in the ground. Hallelujah. And when we plant that seed in the ground, you go ahead and expect an increase out of it. You go ahead and expect God to do even greater things in your life. How many know it's an outward sign and it's an expectancy of what we want God to do in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why I say maybe if you had it done when you're younger, but yet you want to do it, you go. Maybe you're just in a season in your life where you say, God, I'm ready for bigger and better things. I'm ready for the seed of God. I'm ready for the promises to come forth in my life. I'm ready to see life spring out of this earth. Hallelujah. That I might be seed that's planted to bring forth a harvest and a bounty of the goodness of God in my life and in the life of those about me. Hallelujah. See, the power, we never know the power of one seed. Amen? We never know the power of one seed, what that one seed, you ever try to count the seeds in a tomato, the seeds on an ear of corn, the seeds in a cantaloupe, the seeds in a watermelon? Only took one seed. But wow, the power of that seed. I got tickled. I stopped by Aaron's yesterday, and the kids took me out and showed me their garden. And they said, we got pumpkins in our garden, and we didn't even plant them. I said, you did? Well, that's contrary to my doctrine. No, I didn't. They said, we didn't even plant them. We had a compost pile, and we put our compost pile in that garden, and those seeds just came up. I said, that's the power of a seed. And if you want to get rid of the seed, the worst thing you can do is bury it in the earth. Hallelujah. For a seed that they did not plant, they now have pumpkins on that vine. And those pumpkins are producing. And guess what? Nobody knows how many pumpkins are inside those pumpkins. Amen. Hallelujah. And compost may seem like it starts out as somebody else's refuse or somebody else's leftovers or somebody else's scraps, but mixed in the right environment with the right soil and with the right heavenly connection. And guess what? All of a sudden we got pumpkins. And guess what? Those pumpkins now have the ability to make many, many more pumpkins. Hallelujah. He showed me a stalk of corn. He said, but it didn't get it. Got too hot. That's what he told me. He said that corn, but our corn got too hot. He said, and it wasn't popcorn either. He said, because if it had been popcorn, it probably would have popped. Because how many know he didn't get the elements? It didn't get the rain that it needed. And so it dried out and it wasn't able to produce what it needs. How many know we have to put ourselves in an environment where heaven and earth connect, where there is a watering of the Holy Spirit and there's the fertile ground under us, the seed that's being cared for and nurtured until it comes forth. Hallelujah. Because if it gets too hot, it just might pop when it's not supposed to. Hallelujah. So they gave me a little sermon on their garden yesterday and it was pretty awesome. Hallelujah. How many know there's power in a seed? There's only one seed. My dad used to say this one time. It's one seed. The one seed that fell into the ground and died. But except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Good morning, fruit. You can go away and tell everybody today, I said you were a fruit. Fruits and nuts. Yeah, somebody said there's lots of fruits and nuts. That's all right. But that our fruit might remain. Hallelujah. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. The worst thing they could do with Jesus was to bury him in the earth. Hallelujah, because the seed has the power to go on and on. And on. Hallelujah. We are also a seed. We also are seed. Our baptism is a symbol of being buried with him and that seed planted that it might bring forth much fruit. In closing, I'm going to go to Colossians, I believe it is. Carlin, if you want to bring that one up. We are buried with him in baptism. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him, this is what we're doing, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive. That word quickened means made alive together with him. He's caused that seed to produce and to sprout and to come alive, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Hallelujah. So what's the point of baptism? Burying. We're buried with him in baptism. When we come up out of the water, we are resurrected with him into new life. Hallelujah. We are buried like a seed in the earth. Unless that seed be buried in the earth, it cannot produce. But once it's planted in the earth, God causes the life to come forth and causes us to be fruit, and that our fruit might remain. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning.
Thank you. All through the Bible, there are things that take place that made God's people want to hide their face, 'cause the devil would act like he had won the victory. He was so busy laughing, he could not really see that he couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. They couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. The seed of the kingdom has been planted in this sod, and it couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. God sent his Son to earth to proclaim his eternal purpose would be done in his name. The devil would act like he had won the victory when Jesus had hung on Calvary, but he couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. He couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. The seed of the kingdom he has planted in this sod, he couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. 3 days in the grave when Jesus came into hell, preaching to the old prophets in their cells. Well, he walked up to the devil who had his head hung low. Give me the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and back to earth we'll go. He couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. He couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. The seed of the kingdom he had planted in this sod, he couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. From that day till this, God's people have grown enormously. From 12 disciples who live victoriously, to millions of people who follow God today. Though the seed was planted in the earth it could not stay. He couldn't stop the eternal purpose of God. He couldn't.